Okay.
We're back in Parsha Kedoshim. Due to wonderful extraneous circumstances, I'm not as prepared as I would like to be today. But I didn't want to miss learning together today. Again, the Kedusha is a big topic, and we've been talking about it. Those of you who have been on campus for more than a semester, you know, we talk about Kedusha here a lot, Baruch Hashem. It's something which is very important to OUJLIC at Queens College. I feel like it's odd to say it's something that's very important to Judaism, just we talk about it. And it's really great to talk about it in the context of where it really comes up at its core source in Parsha Kedoshim. So I think that having even looked, just gotten a chance to prepare a little bit, we can move at least a little bit more forward. And then I hope to come in much more prepared, because that's going to happen for Wednesday. So let's recap what we talked about last time. Last time we did kind of like our classic model of break down the words, build a picture, what is it talking about? And we built a really beautiful, awesome, very cold framework. And I want to start to fill it with some content. What we talked about last time was in terms of the definitions of Kedusha. We identified kind of three primary ways to really look at it. One definition of Kedusha, like Milashon Kiddushin, which means to get married. When a man says to a woman, Hareat Mikudeshet Li, he's saying, you are, as we read from Tosfot last time on Kedushin Daf Bet Amabet, that it means you're totally separate from all other things, and you're totally specifically connecting to me to the exclusion of all other things, like another word with Kedusha, like Hektesh. Hektesh is something which is totally separated from all other things and only focused on being in the Beit HaMikdash, being connected to the Beit HaMikdash. This concept of being dedicated to only one thing. And we even saw the flip side of that, meaning being dedicated to something is neutral, which is why in the Torah, a Kedesha is a harlot, because she's somebody who is totally dedicated to Znus, but she's totally dedicated. It's about pure dedication to one thing and one thing alone. When we looked at Chol as its opposite, as its antonym, we saw that Chol is all about leaving an empty space, a void, being devoid of core content. Like a Chalal, which is a dead body, missing its core content of the soul. Like a Chalil, which is a food, missing its center. If that's the definition of Chol, and Chol is the opposite of Kadosh, so what is Kadosh? It means being filled with its core content. The last thing we looked at was from the concept of Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The fact that it's the first time God is saying, I am Kadosh, defining Kedusha as being connected to Himself. So the clunky English word we gave to was godliness. The fact that God calls Himself, is referred to as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we merge those three definitions together, it means separating oneself from all other things in this world to focus on the singular relationship that matters, which is to fill oneself up with godliness and engage only in that relationship with godliness, which is a very tall order. And I don't mean to say that it's like, oh, and that's it, good, I'm ready to go home, be kadosh. That's not something that's simple. And the things that we're going to be talking about over the next few days, well, today, Wednesday, maybe even next Monday, these are things that take a lifetime to aspire to. And I want to be clear that if we talk here in terms as absolutes, definitives, if we lay things out, quote-unquote, simply, we're doing so in the sense that we're talking about Parsha Kedoshim. But please, please, please keep in mind that the things that we're talking about very simply in Parsha Kedoshim are things that take a lifetime to achieve. Are we clear on that? That being said, let's now dig a little bit deeper. We've got this framework, which is already, again, mind-blowing in and of itself. To fill, totally carve out the space, to fill yourself with core content, which is godliness, to have an exclusive relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zekedusha. Tov. Before we go into Rashi and Ramban, reorient and again kind of balance the... Talk about work-life balance. I'm still not totally clear what that actually means. But that this, our shir, our learning today should be the Refuah Shlema Bezrat Hashem Bekarov for Tinok Ben Shoshana Bracha Peril. We thought about it long and hard. We settled on Tinok. And Shoshana Bracha Peril Bat Mendel Sara. And that you should have a Refuah Shlema. I don't know what happened to you, but you should have a Refuah Shlema Bekarov as well. Bezrat Hashem, this learning should be as close for all three of those things. Okay, so I want to do not something we normally don't do, which is to actually really critically look at Rishonim. So for those of you who did what you were supposed to do and bought a Tanakh without Rishonim, good for you. Just listen in, and we'll work on it together. For those of you who didn't do what you were supposed to do and got it and brought a Chumash with Rishonim, so you'll have an easier time this one particular shiur. So with the opening of Kedoshim Tiyu, Kedosh Hashem Elokeichem, that is the Tzivoy. That's the second pasuk of the Parsha. Kedoshim Tiyu, be Kadosh, ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I, Hashem, am Kadosh, says God. So Rashi on the spot defines Kedoshim Tiyu as such as this is Rashi's, the way Rashi describes it. Kedoshim Tiyu, Hevu prushim min ha'arayot u'min ha'avira. Maze parush, maze prisha, to separate. Which, as an aside, totally fits with our definitions. Right? We talked about exclusively dedicating to ourselves to one thing. Now, he doesn't say to God, he says, don't be connected to arayos. Where does he learn that from, that kedoshim to you means don't be connected to arayos? Say it louder.
The previous parsha,
right? Elior has been here long enough to know that Chumash has a narrative. And since we ended off Parshat Achrima with Parshat Arayot, don't do the Arayos and be Kadosh, what does that imply? If you don't do the Arayos, you'll be Kadosh. So Rashi just put one together and got two. Not to minimize Rashi, I'm saying that's what the Torah itself seems to be indicating. So Rashi says, be Parosh, specifically in the area of Arayos. Now that also fits into our definitions because we talked about that there's an exclusivity. But not just an exclusivity, it's an exclusivity of relationship. Meaning relationship seems to be continuously right underneath the surface here all throughout. But the very fact that we define Kiddusha by contrasting it to the word, utilizing the word Kiddushin, which means marriage. The fact that marriage is drawing from that same root. So relationships here are going to play more and more of a role and we'll keep infusing more concepts of relationship into this paradigm. But he says, so separate yourself from all of the negative relationships, all of the usur relationships, and then you'll create a reality of Kiddusha. Ve'prushim min ha'arayot u'min ha'avira. Shekol makom, that everywhere, says Rashi, she'ata mutzei geder erva, where you find a fence around issues of arayot, ata mutzei Kiddusha, there you'll find Kiddusha. Very clearly emphasizing that Kedusha is defined as, well, he's only defining it on the negative. The more one distances oneself from Arayot, the more one makes sure not to connect to things that will, as we define in Parshat, Tazria, Metzorah, Achrimot, not to connect to oneself. Meaning, again, the pipes are clear. We were mitzaher, so those pipes, all the tumot are gone. The more that one makes sure to connect, to stay away from connecting to things that will bring tuma into oneself, then one allows for the kedusha to flow through. If you put up fences and keep out the arayot, you can then more successfully channel your entire being, one's entire self, on the primary relationship that there is in this world to create, which is a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Clear? It's almost relatively straightforward. If one opens up even that Rashi a little bit more, what Rashi is implying, within the context of the fact that Ariot is what pulls one away from Kiddusha, many of the Sfarim discuss the fact that issues of Ariot are the things which most break down a person's Kiddushah, most break down a person's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And for those of us in the world, not even say in this room, for those in the world who have experienced incorrect relationships, now, earlier than now, before, after, when I was in high school, when I was in college, when I was beforehand, when I was in Israel, who knows, whatever the case may be, if one experiences such a thing, one feels a distinct distance with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And one of those reasons is because, and this is why this is being emphasized here, and this is just thinking it out. If God is saying that the goal of what the Torah is, the centerpiece of the Torah, is to enter into a relationship with me, is to enter into a covenant with me, is to enter into a loving relationship with me, and a person has a certain amount of relationship energy, a certain amount of relationship focus, when one chooses to focus that relationship energy on something else, one is choosing that over God. That's a very hard thing to hear. It's a very hard thing to live with. But many, many times, and somebody, especially in this job, I get students who come to me about this frequently, that when somebody gets caught up in the throes of a relationship, and it could even be a theoretically, meaning an originally positive relationship, it could be that they were just on dating, it could be that they were super duper shomer negiah, you know, made sure to make pilots crazy, airlines crazy when they got on a plane and never sit next to a woman before in their life, right? You know, and then they got engaged. That's a very frightening thing. Sometimes engagement, people can be shomer negiah all throughout, and then engagement things get super intense, and they can mess up. And I always, and whenever that happens, whenever I'm talking to a student, when that happens, shouldn't happen to anyone, shouldn't happen to any of you, everything should be cut, everything should be fair, everything should be good. But when I speak to a student when that happens, I say, by the way, just so we can talk about it, how's your Avodas Hashem doing? How's your davening going? How's your learning? He's like, you know, that's funny. There was the same thing, since that happened, I've actually been having trouble getting up and going to davening. That's so funny, I stopped going to seder the next day. And they don't even make the correlation. But it's chicken or the egg. Which one is it? The answer is it doesn't matter. Whether you want to say that because the Torah defined the worst type of tumah, the worst blockage in the system, which can prevent a person from relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is Parshat Arayot, and therefore the Kedusha stops flowing, they feel disconnected, they feel the tumah. What does tumah mean? How do we define it? Blocked up, cut off. So isn't it interesting? Suddenly they can't daven anymore. Suddenly they can't learn anymore. Or on the flip side, whether you want to say that, no, on a deeper level, think about the fact that a person is intentionally or not, because they either got to them or not, it doesn't matter why they chose what they chose, or whether they made the active choice at all. By taking that energy and funneling it towards somebody else, something else. And if we want to get really honest, again, not judging here, we're in a situation in our learning where this is what we're learning about, and we need to understand. It's not a judgment. It's just we're talking about the reality of what is. That in a situation where that happens, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, as an aside, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say there should be no relationship between men and women. He says there should be, and there has to be, and there mechuyev to be. In this context, in this time, this is not the Torah. This is not Christianity, where the ideal of Kedusha, so to speak, it's not Kedusha, it's a Tumah, Mamash, is to never have any relationship between a man and a woman. That is not Jewish. Very clearly not Jewish. It's not sitting on a mountaintop either and being totally separate from the world. And you can say, Prushim, it says to be Parush. And we'll see Ramban. Ramban's going to go even more wild than the concept of Prishus. We'll talk about it in a minute. Judaism is neither about living in this world but not being connected to the opposite gender, nor is it living on a mountaintop so you never see them. It's about neither. There's a person is supposed to get married. A husband and a wife are supposed to have a vibrant life together. But only as a husband and a wife. If a person ends up either choosing not to follow that, or lo alino, like the case, lo alino, shouldn't happen to anybody, where they even come into that with the right intentions, but then they end up because the relationship becomes so powerful and the yetzer becomes so strong, even on the smallest level, breaking that, when they're dating, when they're engaged, what a person does when they give into that, or just some, let's talk about something not in that case, but that's the most practical case just for people in this room. Hopefully it's totally impractical, but it's the most practical people in this room. Let's say a person says, no, it's just not who I am. And I see this person and I want to connect to them in that way. If Kadosh Baruch Hu said that that's not the way that it's meant to be, and a person gets into that, people like to pitch it, especially in the day and age that we have, as being love. But it's really not love. What it really is giving into one's yetzer. Is giving into one's drive to fulfill that personal desire. There's a personal desire for X. It's either more important to me, or I'm choosing not to think about it, or I'm overcome. But the desire to be fulfilled is the desire to do what I want to do for me, as opposed to what God wants me to do. And what I'm really choosing in that moment is to relate to myself, as opposed to relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So whether you want to look at it as relating to something else other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and God talks about that all the time, whether it's the znus of Arayos or the znus of Avodah Zarah, which he calls it all the time. The Torah calls it, Tanakh calls it all the time. And when a person goes and has a relationship with anything else other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't matter whether it's a false god, or it doesn't matter whether it's some random person on the street, or some person, not necessarily random, some person who one is very close to, who one intends to get married to, it doesn't matter. That if you spread that relationship energy into a space that's not within the confines of Torah, you're taking away from what's meant to be focused on God and focused on the other, or focused on oneself, which is always the tension that we talk about in the Shiurim. Selfishness versus selflessness. Am I making room for myself, or am I making room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And if I'm not making room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I choose to be full, then on many things, I'll tell you what, I am tamei. I'm blocked up. I'm not filled with Kiddusha. I'm not filled with my core essential thing that I'm supposed to be filled with. I'm not relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've not separated myself at all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more one slowly but surely over a lifetime chips away and chips away and chips away at one's own selfish desires, which is not a judgment, it takes a lifetime, because we are a self and God created us in a very complicated way. You know, speaking of newborn babies, you know, while a baby is tahor, mamash, not so simple with a child also. There's a flip side to the child. When we're born, what do we do?
We're all selfish.
What do we do? Talk it out. What do we do?
Cry.
We cry. Why do we cry? Because I want. What do I want? I want to eat. I want to sleep. I want it now. And if not, it's because I want to be changed. That's it. Now, it's not to say that a baby is not tahor. What tuma are they filled with? But the goal of life is basically, as we've talked about many times, is to turn oneself on one's head. Olam hafuch ra'iti, olam adashikra, is to go from a state when we're born of being born intentionally so, entirely 110% selfish, and to transform oneself over the course of a lifetime to be 110% selfless. Selfless for whom? For what? For God. That's the transition. And chipping away at this sense of self, at this sense of desire, when my whole life up until this point has been, I want, I need, and all the things that I want and I need also happen to be physical, by the way. I want food, I want to sleep, I want to be changed. They're all physical things. You have to be like, I want a daven! Like, it's like, why would I be daven? Like, that's not what happens yet, right? That's not what happens. They're crying for physical things. And we're meant to move away from a deep place of desiring exactly what we want, whenever we want it, for me, that's physical, to giving myself up to pure spirituality. It's a shift. It takes a lifetime. The deepest, deepest place where that penetrates is to the realm of Ariot. It is the most physical thing. It's the deepest physical desire. And it's very specifically focused on simultaneously relating to something else other than God, and also something which we'll talk about more as we go forward, something which can look selfless, but maybe isn't as selfless as I'm pitching it. That's where things get a little bit more complicated. And maybe that's why it's one of the most complicated areas and the areas most relating to Kedusha. It looks selfless. What do you mean I'm doing something wrong? Right, says guy X, says Joe Schmo, who I'm talking to, right? Let's call him Joe. We're not going to be Ma'alehim, right? Well, I'm talking to Joe. And Joe says, but my girlfriend, she needs physical affection. She needs it. I'm doing it for her. Right? And you're all laughing because you know guys, and like, either he's kidding himself or he's not kidding himself, but either way, he's wrong. Right? It's not for her. It's not for her. It's not what it's about. And that's a struggle. Is both my funneling the relationship in the right way, and it's an area where, well, I can pretend that it's being selfless for the wrong person, the wrong time, the wrong place. Really, it's also selfish, really, deep down. Because I'm getting something out of it. I'm getting what I want out of it. If I really peel away the layers. Let's complicate matters further. Okay? Let's take a look at the Ramban. Nachmanides. Ramban loves Rashi. He also loves to beat up on Rashi, which is what he's about to do. Both are true. Ramban says as follows. Unbelievable Ramban, and we'll start to unpack this Ramban a little bit today, but between now and next time, read and sit on this Ramban from beginning to end. I'm also going to be skipping a few words. We're going to move away from Ariel to start talking about other things, so we can talk as explicitly as possible about something else, so it's safe to talk about as explicitly as possible. We can really get into the meat and potatoes, or not. We'll see how much meat and potatoes you eat after we're done talking after next time. So he says the Ramban in Pasuk Bet, where did it go? Where's Kedushim to you? There it is. Kedushim to you. So first he quotes Rashi, right? Hevei Purshim min ha'areot min avira. Shekol makom sha'ata motzei geder erva motzei kedusha. Lashon Rashi. Aval b'torat kohanim. Rashi, you didn't quote what it really says in Chazal. You added in stuff. There you go again, Rashi. Now I got to clean up your mess. It says in Torah Kohanim, because I know how to quote, says Ramban, Ra'iti Stam. All it says is, very simply, Mazeh Kedoshim to you. All it says there is, Kedoshim to you. Zeh. What word did he take out? What word did Rashi add in? Which is what we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes. So is it about Arios or not about Arios? So I was like, no! It has nothing to do with Arios. It's all about Prishut, Prushim Tiyu. You want to be Kadosh? Be Parush. So he goes on and says, what? To separate oneself. Love you. We have a long way to go. Right? Because at this point, we're either Lo Aleinu, right? Never getting married, or sitting on a mountaintop. Right? Don't go east or west. Keep going straight. Okay? So slowly but surely. Mechein shanu sham, v'it kadashtem v'itzem kedoshim kikadosh ani, kishem she'ani kadosh, just like I'm kadosh, kachatem tiyu kadoshim. So you should be kadosh. Translation from Chazal, kishem she'ani parush, says God, just like I am separate and above and beyond and totally distant, kachatem tiyu prushim, so too should you separate. Ulefi da'ati. Now again, he's now saying, I'm going to explain this as I understand it. But the Ramban, so that's really exciting. Ulefi da'ati, ein ha-prishut hazo lifrosh min ha-areot kedivrei harav. This is not being parsh from Arios. Who is he to say it's Arios? Aval ha-prishut hi ha-muskeret b'chol makom b'talmud. This is the prishut that's talking throughout all of the Talmud, throughout all of Shas. About Prushim. So then what is it? So it's not Prushim and Arayot, it's just being Parush. So it says, your script, what is Precious? V'ha'inyan. Ki ha-Torah hizira ba'arayot. Wait a second. He says not. Okay, fine, in the second half. Fine. Ki ha-Torah hizira, the Torah warned us. Hizira ba'arayot. Be very, very careful by Arayos uva ma'achalim ha'asurim. And then he's going to go on to explain. Now that's a very wild thing. Evidently the Ramban here saw a seismic shift and we saw a kind of trip and fall. So we have to understand the Ramban, because the Ramban's right and we're wrong. But that's very odd. Rashi, you just took the word Kedusha and you defined it as being Parish from Arayos. You just totally limited the scope of this amazing term. It means Parish. And I'll tell you what it means. It means parish from Arayos and food. That's it? That's all you got? It was 50%. So just say, and Rashi said Arayos, and I also think it means Arayos and food. There were different ways to frame it, and the Ramban meant what he said. He meant what he said. Rashi made a huge mistake according to the Ramban. Don't just say Arayos. It's Arayot and Machalot. How does he phrase it? And ma'achalim ha'asurim. That's how he phrases it. It's usually ma'achalot ha'asurim, I think, but he phrases ma'achalim ha'asurim. Now this is a whole area that we have to open up then. We have to open this up. Arayos seems to be limiting. To the Ramban, once you add in Arayos and Ba'achalim Asurim, then you've got not only a bigger picture, but the whole picture in a way that's totally different. Big fat question mark. What's the connection between the two? And if Prushim to you is Kedoshim to you, and Kedoshim to you's goal is to tell you, be parish from everything, In what way, when you put these two things together, does it really get to the core of what Precious is about? There's a lot of other physical things. There's a lot of other animalistic things. What about them? Definitely physicality is going to be a part of it, but he's going to tell you to separate from all physical things. Definitely an animalistic side, that's saying also saying your physical side. You're totally right. But why? Why these two?
Because they require such a precise measure.
Precise measure. Say more.
Because both of them provide nourishment and life force. And they're very exact.
They're very exact.
Very fine.
So you're quoting the Ramban, whether you know it or not. You're quoting the Ramban. Let's go a little further in the Ramban, and then we'll strengthen the question and leave it on a cliffhanger for next time. Okay? But let's see a little bit further in the Ramban. Says Ayelet, says the Ramban, Vanyan, ki atzrayis rabarot machalim asurim. Vehitira. So first of all, the Torah itself was matir, a husband and wife having a relationship together. Then it was also matir. Ba'achilata basar ba'ayin. We're allowed to eat. We're allowed to be involved in these things in their proper way. Im kain, if so, imatzei ba'al ha-ta'ava, one who's overcome by their ta'avot. And now again, we seem to be bleeding over into issues that we're just talking about. One who is fully overcome by their ta'avot. Makom liot shatuf bezima. A person, and he has other few words here, which you can read on your own, a person to totally take advantage of being married in a way that's inappropriate, of simply involving themselves in that level of physicality all the time, simply because it fulfills their own personal needs. V'liot bisov yayin bizolele basar lamo. And a person could just go, and he's quoting a masugia, and a person can just go and eat and drink all they want. Meaning, if it's kosher, and this is where I said we're going to come back to the distinction here between what we saw in Parshat Shmini about kosher food versus here about kadosh eating, which don't seem to be the same thing. Don't eat tummy animals, but eat in a kadosh way, and that's not the same thing. So he says here, a person can make sure that they've gotten away from the tumma foods from Parshat Shmini. And they said a bracha, but there could still be something wrong. What's wrong? They're just eating and eating and eating and eating. And you'll tell me, you wouldn't tell me, you guys are all kadosh, fine. Somebody else will tell me. But it's mutar. Hakol mutar. Why are you giving me your chumras? Why are you being so stark? Get away from me. What's wrong with you? It's badats. It's OU. Right? It's super, it's 110%. It would have been really good if I remember it. What's it called? Bet Yosef. Badat Bet Yosef. Right? The Sfarim are like, okay, fine, now we're talking. Right? The answer is, doesn't matter. Something is still wrong. If a person goes and gets the kosher food and says the bracha, says the Ramban, you haven't even begun Precious yet. Well, so then what is Precious? Because it's not the mountaintop. That sounds a lot like the mountaintop. Sounds a lot like the mountaintop. Rice and meditation and don't see anybody and don't talk and just stay up there and be separate and don't. Which sounds like the Judaism they were pitched in high school, right? Judaism in high school is a four-letter word. The four-letter word in high school was don't. Right? That's what Judaism is. That doesn't sound so helpful either. Unclear. We have to unpack it more. A little bit further. I'm sorry we're over time, but my whole life is not on schedule now. So if you have to go, it's fine. But I'm going to finish the Ramban. But no judgments. If you have to go, it's fine to go. He says, V'idaber kirtzono, V'idaber kirtzono, v'chol anevalot. Now here he adds another layer, also relating to the mouth, which is interesting, and also relating back to issues of Tazria and Mitzora, by the Mitzora. We talked about improper use of speech. Person says, well, I can speak, and they say all kinds of terrible things with their mouth. That sounds to me like it's usser, but okay, threw that in. But these things weren't mentioned as being usser in the Torah. The Torah told me to get married, so if I'm married, who cares what I do? The Torah told me that I have to eat kosher food. If it's kosher, then who cares how much I eat and what I eat and how I eat it? V'yeh, and this is the key phrase, V'yeh naval birshut ha-Torah. Naval birshut ha-Torah, taking advantage of that which is allowed within the context of Torah. very scary phrase. I'll give you the scary phrase as the way that I've seen more prominently in Sifrei Chassidut. And the flip side of it is Kadesh, back to the word Kadosh, Kadesh Atzmecha Bimutar Lecha. But these are our two key phrases. The Ramban only uses the top one, but the two are relating to the same concept. Kadesh Atzmecha, make yourself Kadosh specifically and intentionally and very much focus on those things that are mutter. Meaning these two phrases, which is why I think the Ramban is so harsh on Rashi, is Rashi makes it sound like Kedusha is simply a relationship issue. Connect to God, or connect to, I guess we'll speak from your case, connect to God, or connect to Him. Those are your choices. That's the dichotomy, black and white. Now, I think underneath Rashi is all of this, but Rambam was like, that's not clear enough. Yes, relationships are at the centerpiece, and we do have to link all this back to relationships. In the same way that if we're talking about Kedusha, and Kedusha is the center book, is the center of Vayikra, and it's the center of the Torah that we talked about last time, and it's the center of the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the Kodesh HaKadosh in the center has the Kruvim, which are the relationship between God and the Jewish people. So we have to put relationship back into it, true. But if you limit it, says the Ramban, just talking about Arayos, people are only going to talk about Arayos. And that's not the full picture. There's a whole world out there that the Torah doesn't talk about, says the Ramban. A whole world. It's the world in which, it's the world in which there is no longer an Isser. And there is no longer a mitzvah. And it asks you, the Torah asks of you, in that moment where you're not usher to do something, and you're not chayav or chayevet to do something, now that you have a chance to show your true colors, who are you really? What are you really dedicated to? What are you really filled with? What's your essence really? Because now there's nothing extrinsically pulling you to do one thing or the other. And in this moment, in this time, which happens all the time, where there's no mitzvah in that moment, who are you? What are you filled with? What is your content? What is your goal? What are you about? What are you dedicated to? All of our words of Kedusha. What was the one word that, of Kedusha that we didn't use in that sentence? Godliness. How in those moments do I make it about godliness? Because that's Kedusha. There are lots of answers to who am I, what am I filled with, what am I dedicated to, what am I about? There are lots of answers, but there's only one that makes a person Kadosh. Is it the answer to all of those questions is God? How? Why? Why is it linked to these two things, Arayos and Machalot Asarot? Why do those bring out the full picture beyond physicality and animalistic nature, pushing those two things away? It has to be more than that. That's the opening page of the Musar Sefer. I want the last page of the Musar Sefer. And how does that still allow me to be immersed in a physical reality and be Jewish by engaging the physical world in a way of Kedusha and not leaving me up on the mountaintop and not leaving me celibate? None of those things are the goal of Judaism. Judaism is very against both of those things. How do we understand that? The last piece for today is, just to deepen the question so we can really jump in on Wednesday, Bezrat Hashem, Bineder. So we can really jump in on Wednesday. Note that the Ramban is not the only one to link these two things together. Arayot and Machalot Asarot. We're not examining this Ramban simply because of the Ramban, although that would have been good enough. That's not the only reason we're seeing this Ramban. We're looking at this Ramban and we're spending so much time opening up this piece because the Ramban brings it up. But I'll tell you who else brings it up. Everyone. When everybody talks about Kedusha, they all suddenly funny end up talking about specifically these two things. And always these two things. Now you'll tell me, Rabbi Charnock, deep down, we all know that you're a closet chassid, And deep down, we all know that you love to quote Kabbalah. So you're selling all of these sources, fine. The answer is, I'll tell you yes. You open up a Sefer Chassidus. You open up a Sefer Hashkafa. When it talks about Kedusha, you will see that it will address these two issues. And if it's addressing these two issues, it will use the word Kedusha. But you know who did it first? God. Go back and look. Look when food is talked about in Sefer Shmot. Sefer Shmot is not the book of Kedusha and Tahara, that's what we did talk about it last semester. And when it sneaks it in there in Parshat Mishpatim, it makes sure to also sneak in the word Kadosh. And when it sneaks it in earlier, when we're dealing with Tumah V'Tahara, it also sneaks in the word Kadosh. When it talks about the Sefer Devarim, it also sneaks in the word Kadosh. And when it talks about Arayos, what does it throw in? That is right then there. So the Torah did it first. And that's why the Ramban picked up on it. That's why all of Kabbalah has to be done on it. And now, just to make sure to fill out the picture, I know that there are some rationalists who are going to fall to pieces that it's not a machloket. The Rambam, my mom at least, picked up on it as well. Because, wouldn't you know, he knew how to read Chumash. He knew how to read Chumash. And he saw the same thing. And when he wrote the Mishnah Torah, the Mishnah Torah is comprised of many different Svarim. There are many different books in the Mishnah Torah. There's one Sefer called Sefer Kedusha. And wouldn't you know it, the Rambam, the rationalist, purist Maimonides, he talks about two things in Sefer Kedusha. And it's not Hekdesh, and it's not Kodshim, all of which would have been obvious choices. Two things. Arayot and Machalot Asurot. Kol HaTorah Kula, stemming from God in the Chumash, to the Rishonim, to the Achronim, to the later Achronim, to the Chassidim, to the Mikubalim, whatever it is. L'chulei Amal L'pligei. Nobody argues. Somehow, to crack the code on Kedusha is to understand Arayos and Machalot Asurim, and on the flip side, a proper relationship and proper eating, and what the relationship between those two are. On Wednesday, Bezrat Hashem, we know that we're going to pick up with that and try to sew those two things together and open up even more so what Kedusha is about. We will focus primarily on eating. Since we are in a situation where Kol HaKom Shatam will say Gidur, Ever Shatam will say Kedusha, so I'm teaching a women's class. So we're going to make a Gedur. And we're not going to talk explicitly about Arayot, especially on this deep of a level. We're going to focus on Wednesday on Machalot Asurot, and I'm going to trust that those of you who are thinkers in the room, and I think that's most of you, if not all of you, it wasn't meant to limit anybody, that you will make the logical jumps as to how those two things are connected. But we're going to talk about the one that's appropriate to talk about in this context, and I'm going to trust you guys to make the logical connections. Okay? To be continued on Wednesday. If you don't show up, I don't know how you could not show up after that. I want to come down my table.